Heavenly Father, we praise you for your loving kindness and pray that you'll nourish us with your word today. And I pray that I can do the scripture justice. It is such a beautiful scripture. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 11, verse 33-36. I'll read in the message. Have you ever come on anything quite like this extravagant generosity of God? This deep, deep wisdom. It's way over our heads. We'll never figure it out. Is there anyone around who can explain God? Anyone smart enough to tell him what to do? Anyone who has done him such a huge favor that God has to ask his advice? Everything comes from him. Everything happens through him. Everything ends up in him. Always glory. Always praise. Yes, yes, yes. Now, some of us might recognize the scripture more in the NKJV version, which I'll just read quickly. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory for ever. Amen. I remember William George in our church. He's passed away a few years ago. But he used to stand up and say this scripture. Okay, it was in Afrikaans. But the beauty and the reverence and the adoration in his voice was so evident. And that's why I consider this to be such a beautiful and such a special scripture. Our God is an awesome God. There's an old song that runs like that. This sentiment is reflected in Hebrews 2, verse 5 to the first part of 8. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place, saying, What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's a quote from Psalm 8, verse 4, but I'll just read verses 1 to 4. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? God is so big and we are so small. In that NASA photograph of the planet as the, I think it was the Voyager, was about to lose contact with us on its way out into space, it was called a little blue dot where a shaft of sunlight caught the Earth in the cameras. And yeah, you talk about internet speeds and download, how long a download takes. That took, I don't know how long to download, but it was, I don't know, ages. So that little blue dot hanging in the universe points to the fact that we are so small in this universe that God can hold in the palm of his hands. And yet, God knows us intimately. The very hairs of our heads are numbered. Our awe and reverence and adoration to God is reflected in Revelations 5, verse 9 to 10. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. And so us little human beings have been given significance by the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself. Remember, even on planet Earth, the value of something is determined by the price someone is willing to pay for it. If a horse is sold at auction and they bid, what, 100 rand on it, then that's considered a cheap horse. If they bid 30,000 rand on it, it's an expensive horse. You and I have our value set by Jesus Christ, who paid for us with his own life, his own blood. And so we are worth the life of the Son of God. And in the current day and age, it looks like we're heading for end times and things are looking grim out there with the news. Well, I don't watch the news because it's just depressing. I hear about things that need praying for from my Christian friends, and that's all I need to do. But we know the end from the beginning. We know how the story ends. Revelations 19, verse 11 to 4. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So remember, we are given God's righteousness in exchange for our tattered, sinful clothing. Remember, our self-righteousness is like filthy rags in God's sight. It is only His righteousness that gives us the right to enter into God's presence with boldness. And our significance, our importance to God, is also shown in Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And so every individual on planet Earth, not only Jacob, but every person, God desires that none should perish. And so everyone is earmarked to go to heaven. Some choose not to. Some choose to stay rebellious, and they do end up in a horrible place. But it is God's will that none should perish, and therefore He calls us by name, each one of us. In John 10 verse 3, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Again, pointing to the intimate relationship that he desires with each one of us. And what I was saying about God's righteousness in Revelations 3 verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, we don't know what we're going to be doing exactly in heaven. Nobody knows, because God is so big and so amazing and so unimaginably huge and awesome that we can't even imagine what it'll be like there. But in Revelations 4 verse 4, it does indicate that there are 24 elders, and we know what they do. So Revelations 4 verse 4 says, around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And later in the chapter, Revelations 4:10-11, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So in the light of your worth and my worth, it is apparent that we are very valuable to God. He paid the ultimate price so that we would be able to spend eternity with Him forever. And so with that knowledge, I encourage you to reach out to the lost and hurting, to reflect His light as the moon reflects the sunlight, to shine your light.